Welcome to episode 61 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, wars, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast now with Smokey Rivers. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jason.
I'm Tim.
I'm Z.
And we have another special guest here today. Jason, why don't you tell us who it is?
Actually, we brought my father onto the show today. He's visiting us from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, where the lows are about 70 degrees. His name to some is Smokey Rivers. I would actually say more people in the world know you as Smokey than Fred. Do you think that's true?
I think both of them do. Yeah, I think you're right.
He is once the number one program director in the entire nation. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, now look what I'm doing. I'm here with you guys podcasting. I've grown a lot in my years.
There you go. So he's just sitting in for a little bit.
Cool. You guys can get on with the podcast. I'll play with my BlackBerry.
Awesome. There you go.
Well, I'm always confused. Is today or was yesterday El Dia de los Muertos, as these
The Day of the Dead?
As these people say.
As these people.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know, ese.
I've been holding on to that joke for like a week now.
Really? That was pretty bad, dude.
Oh, man.
How have you been, Z?
I've been all right. I've just been busy with work, and then I've been playing Mark II a lot.
Oh, yeah?
So I've been really digging it.
How about the entire Atlanta crew down there? Is everybody playing Mark II or just a small portion?
I think that the veterans are moving to Mark II, whereas we have a lot of – we've picked up about 10 to 15 new players in the last month and a half.
Wow.
And we're still sticking to probably 2 months. And we're sticking to Mark I with them, kind of giving them the foundations. And then once Mark II hits, we're going to
– slap in the face with Mark II.
Yeah, even if it's not even if Mark II is a little bit more, say, refined of a rule set, I mean, trying to teach him to play with, like, printouts and stuff like that, it kind of gives the game an unpolished look or feel. Mm-hmm. And it's probably, sticking with the actually published material will probably make it go over a little bit better.
I think so.
It's like playing Pulp City.
they're mostly still in the Warjack mode, so it's not like they're buying units or anything yet. I mean, they pretty much just bought Warcasters and oodles of Warjacks.
Well, do you think next month, whenever the Mark II Horde stuff drops, do you think everybody's going to shift over to Mark II, even the new guys, or what?
Well, the new guys, funnily enough, there's only one Horde player out of that whole lot.
Wow.
And so it's like whenever they see someone playing Hordes, they're just completely astounded at how this Fury mechanic works. And, you know, we're trying to ease them into it, but hopefully we're doing a little league right now, and so all of them are playing. And we have a few Hordes players in there. So I think they'll get the hang of it, but I'm pretty sure we're going to stay Mark I until January.
You say you're doing a little league. Is this not the Call to Arms League?
We have not run a Call to Arms League at that store in a year. Well, we've never run one over there because, honestly, we don't have people playing that much War Machine.
There you go.
I mean, it's one day a week, and we generally have... now, admittedly, the newbies are coming in, but, you know, they're still learning Mangled Metal. The scenarios really don't help out that format.
It also seems like you guys do play a lot of War Machine. I mean, you said that only one new player gets into Hordes or is getting into Hordes. Is it true that, you know, there's probably not as much Hordes played, period, there?
That's not true. All the veterans have at least one army in each side, but we're all currently focusing on War Machine because of all the cool new toys, you know?
Yeah.
So all the veterans are playing around with their Mark II stuff and, you know, learning all their needle tricks and what the differences are and how stupidly awesome Kator Jacks are now. Stupid Kator Jacks.
Are you saying they're number one?
I've been revising my thoughts since I've been playing with the Kricks for a while.
I had the feeling you would.
Yeah, I guess I was feeling that from the Signar point of view. Kator was just owning my face.
How is that possible? There's so much stuff that can eat through their armor.
I don't know, man. It just wasn't working out. Right now, I'm looking at my Signar army sitting in their foam trays in the shelf of retirement.
Eee.
Yes, I will not be seeing them for a year.
But do you not – I mean, but this isn't because that you think they're bad. They're just different than what you had originally got them for, correct?
Exactly. And I talked to Jason about this before. I picked up the all-fearless, all-powerful Storm Army, and it's now the, oh my god, we're scared of Black Ogryn, not so powerful.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my Black Ogryn are also scared of Black Ogryn.
I know. That's still one of the funniest things ever.
But, But yeah, I mean, a lot of we've talked to a lot of people a lot of different ways about, you know, what is new, what is good, what is bad. And, you know, it seems like the, especially on the Signar forums, on the big boards, that they're kind of waffling. For a moment there, they were, you know, crying for help, and then now they seem kind of smug.
Who is?
The Signar guys.
They said they're smug now?
Yeah, they've got, they're like,
can't make up their minds.
They can't make up their minds if they hate it or if they love it.
Well, they seem to latch onto the Thunderhead every time I read one of the posts.
Yeah.
Like it's a saving grace.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's great. Don't
There's
get me
more
wrong.
Two
but,
Signar than Thunderhead.
Apparently not.
Jeez.
And I did. I don't know if you guys followed this thread, but in the Signar forums, when Mark II dropped, there was a lot of naysaying, and so I decided, all right, let's see what we can do about this. And I posted this thread about the weakest models, and then I would take Armulus, the forum made for me, and then play games with that, and then post the feedback about how the game went with the models they made me use. And I think that kind of chained a reaction with some other people who started doing the same thing and posting and working with these models, trying to see how they change and how we need to change how we play them. Like, I had to use Sword Knights almost every game.
Yeah,
how did... I absolutely despised Sword Knights from Mark One, so I'd actually never played with them in Mark One. So,
well, how did you find them in Mark Two?
I thought they were the Signar Mechanithralls.
And they are. I mean, they're 4/6, but they, you know, they can actually end up hitting like a truck, even maybe harder than Mechanithralls in some instances with a good dice roll. And additionally, they're going to hit even better because of their higher mat.
Exactly. And they had armor 21 with the casters I was using them.
There you go.
Nice.
I mean, you got to say that's something. Armor 21, I mean, even Kator doesn't get that high without shield wall on Man of War Shock Troopers.
So I guess we got some topics lined up for today. Z, you want to introduce this topic since this was your idea? I'll give you some credit.
All right. Well, because the forums have been all ablaze about how Mark II is changing the format and changing the lists and how certain models suck now or are better now and it completely changed the way you should play, I thought, well, why not take one of my old lists from Mark I and convert it over into a Mark II list point for point, or rather model for model, and see how it ends up. And so what I did, and I believe some other people in the agenda did, is that we took a 750-point list from Mark I and then made a 50-point list in Mark II using the same exact models, and then compared not only the points, but also the utility, or basically when you bought the models into that army, what their purpose was and how it has changed in the new army.
We took a stab at this last episode, and the list I came up with, it didn't turn out very well at all in Mark II, it turned out. So I'm interested to see how this is going to go.
Well, somebody else start.
Who's starting?
Well, let's have Tim start, because Tim actually is bringing back an old friend.
I decided to go with a list from episode one, where we talked about the cold shoulder, the Zirkova list.
60 episodes later, he's still obsessed with this list.
Hey, I just wanted to take, hey, I figured why not take the first list and, you know, since we're going with the Mark II route a little bit, kind of convert it over and see how it goes.
Tim, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind.
What?
I picked up Zirkova.
I knew you would. What? After we talked about her Wednesday?
Yeah. It's not necessarily that. It was pretty much free.
So. Oh, well, there you go. That works too. So
what was the cold shoulder? Why don't you refresh our memory?
The cold shoulder was Zirkova. A Spriggan.
But that was only because Beast 09 wasn't out?
That's because Beast 09 wasn't out.
So would you replace with Beast 09 now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Eris, the Angel Retribution, also known as Epic Eris. A Colden Lord. A Man of War Dracoon with Dismount. 3 units of Grey Lord Turnians. 8 Iron Fang Pikemen with the unit attachment. And then a full unit of Man of War Demacor. A unit of Widowmakers, and a Winterguard Mortar Crew. So that was 745 points in Mark 1. So when I went and converted it to Mark 2 via the Forward Commander program, which that was the first time I used it. That's a pretty slick program.
Yeah,
it's not too
like
bad.
It. And I like that you don't have to download anything, and it can still save your list for you.
Yeah, and actually something he had – I actually had some email correspondence with the gentleman who created it, and there's a lot of new changes coming. Mm-hmm. He's going to be ready for the Mark II hordes as well, and a couple cool features. One that I know that I really wanted was you can delete lists off what you had, which he didn't have that available before. So continue.
Yeah. Oh, well, like what Jay's saying, you can actually save your lists on the website. It is a web program. It's not something you download. It's directly accessible through the web. You can create an account and log on to save lists, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy. I've tried to email with him too. He's got a feed from the blog going into the IABN, so you can check out news there and all that kind of stuff. So I believe his name is Kilvati.
There you go.
All right. So using that program, I went ahead and we decided 50 points because that's a roughly equivalent to 750 in Mark II.
Give or take.
Give or take a few, yeah. So my list converted over. I have Zirkova and a Spriggan. Still got 3 units of Grey Lords, a Colden Lord, a Dracoon with Dismount, Epic Eris, a Mortar Crew, Widowmakers, full unit of Demo Corps, and here's the change that I had to make to fit. I couldn't do a 10-man unit, obviously, since it's min or max, so I went with a minimum unit and the unit attachment with it.
For 5 feet, so it wouldn't fit.
So it wouldn't fit, exactly.
Ooh, interesting. That's
And that took me to 49 points, so I had 1 point left that I couldn't use.
You had a War Dog?
This is the translation.
Oh no, you could add.
Well, no, but he's gonna do the change.
I did a direct translation, and then another one, which is
the War Dog one or two.
One.
So you could put the War Dog in.
I could.
If there were points left, you could fill them out. That was part of the practice.
Oh, see, I didn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I left them open. Well,
we did it in 3 steps almost instead of 2, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the 3rd step of making another list with any changes I would make for Mark II. So my changes were it's basically, I actually dropped out my Demo Corps altogether. Because
that would have put you way over.
Right. They're 9 points. I mean, they were the most expensive unit I had at the time. So I went with Zirkova. I changed Spriggan to Beasto 9, which actually
gained. Oh, wait, you're looking at the list. Let's talk about the change of list itself first. Yeah.
We're going to back up then.
Yeah, okay. Let's back up. So that was your
step 2.
Yeah, step 2. That was your change.
Step 2, I still have the Demo Corps and everything. Right.
So okay. your only change was you lost a couple IFP.
I lost 2 models.
And you did throw you could throw a War Dog in because you had points.
Right.
Okay.
Which, how do you think it played compared to the original?
I think it's going to play pretty similarly. I think Zirkova is actually going to be a little more aggressive in Mark II because she has that beautiful spell Influence that Fiona has, and I think Denegra has that.
Regular well. Denegra has it now.
Yeah, and that's a pretty sweet spell. I've seen that been used to great effect. I think the tactics are still going to be the same. I think Grey Lords actually are going to play a lot more fluidly now because the Blizzard is automatic and it's only on friendly models to provide concealment. So
no more rolling stuff.
Right. No more rolling. It's boom, done. Which, you know, when I play locally, most people are like, I'll just give it to you anyway to speed up the game. So, but yeah, that's for the most part, I think it's going to play the same. I don't think there's that many changes to it.
I would say Zirkova did get better though in Mark II comparatively.
Absolutely. I think she's way better in Mark II.
I mean, she has the second tier of jack points at 6, which is, you know, better than being at 5. So that's something they give her. Additionally, new force blast. Is that what the spell's called? It's really cool.
How did that change?
It's not just her anymore. It's anybody in her battle group. So it's her jacks.
Yeah. So anyone within within 4 inches is moved 2, I believe.
I think it's 2. Yeah.
And that's pretty sweet. So you can have a jack, engaged by a bunch of guys, force blast them out, and then you can do whatever he needs to do.
Previously in Mark One, it's however many points she spends, right?
Correct. I think it's a 1 point spell and she can spend extra focus per inch, for inches, yeah.
Yeah, but now it
sounds a lot better.
But now it's 2
automatically.
And it's automatic 4 inches.
So I think it's a 2 focus spell.
It's sort of the same power for Snipe almost.
No power. No power.
No power. It's just a
It just boom. Pushes, but you can move jacks out of the way. I mean, that could do all sorts of damage, especially depending on what jacks you end up bringing.
Sort of like the Mark One Blitzer.
No.
You could also clone
guys. Actually better than I thought it was going to be. Target model in this battle group in its control area. Enemy models currently within 2 inches are pushed 4 inches directly away.
That's what it is.
In the order you choose.
Crap. That's really good.
Yeah. It's 3. It's half her. It's almost half her focus. It's 3. But I can definitely see uses for that to, clear lanes and
with the new changes to sprays, where spraying in the melee means nothing. You could use that to just clump guys up and have your Grey Lords just go to town.
Right.
Also, if you have the Spriggan in this list, for example, get things out of the way. And even if you're using the Spriggan, obviously you said you're going to change it to Beast, but with the Spriggan in Mark II, you can then charge out, and even if there's still someone in your way, you can nudge them out of the way with new Bulldoze,
right?
Getting them out of the way, completing your charge to whatever kind of thing you see beyond those guys.
Yeah, I thought about, when we get to the third list, keeping it as a Spriggan, But I just the crit freeze and everything on Beast of Night, I think it's just too good not to use for crit one extra point.
And crit freeze is also going to come about because of the way new Watcher works, if you want to mention that.
Yeah, the new version of Watcher, which is pretty sweet. Actually, I think it promotes you to take more than one Warjack.
Yeah, absolutely.
However, I still couldn't fit it in at 50 points. Go figure that. the new Watcher is basically any enemy model that ends its movement within 6 inches of her. You choose a Warjack in your battle group, in your control area. It can immediately make a full advance and then make one normal melee or range attack targeting that enemy model. Then the attack and damage rolls are boosted, and after the attack is resolved, it expires. But what's cool about it now is it's upkeep. So you cast it on turn one, and you just kind of upkeep it all game until it triggers.
And then also, and also, you don't have to cast it on a Jack before you casted it. You
know, yeah, now it's I just pick somebody
exactly, which is pretty sweet.
So wait, she casts it on herself and upkeeps it?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
So yeah, so it can be any Jack. So if you bring a number of Jacks, now you've got some ridiculous threat. It could be with Beast of Nine, especially with or Juggernaut with Crit Freeze, that's going to be big. Even if it's a Destroyer hanging back, if you want to bring someone like that, now you've got a crit amp. You could take off someone's weapon if they charge you, or let's say it's the Behemoth, boost the attack from the Behemoth or boost the damage roll from the Behemoth could take out half of a Jack on its own.
Yeah.
So you certainly have lots of options now when you bring lots of Jacks.
Would the boosted shot from the Behemoth be a shot to the heart?
most likely the face.
Okay.
Okay.
I think shot to the dome.
I still think it's going to be best to use on the models with reach. So like the Spriggan and Beast of Nine in particular really benefit from that because just increases the threat range. And it's, I don't like to push the Jack completely forward in the early turns. I like to kind of keep it close to actually protect her and keep her kind of safe. So. Yeah.
Well, and the cool thing also is if they end within 6 of her, with the reach, you at least have a 6-inch threat. So if it's like, if they're in a decent line with you, you can usually get to them. Now, if they charge from the other side or something like that, that's cool. But,
Right. Well, and even if you don't kill them or destroy them, as long as you engage them, you kind of end the threat
in and of itself.
Yep. Or maybe even just get in the way, get in between the swings so they can't hit Zarkova anymore.
Right. Exactly.
So where do you think,
if they're using reach?
So where do you think some of your points went? Do you think there's any models in there that maybe cost a little bit more comparatively in the Mark II change?
I would think, Grey Lords are definitely in that range because they're 4 points for a unit. They're actually like 1.1 or something per guy versus
1.333.
Well, 1.3. versus some units, it's almost 1-for-1 or you get less.
Yeah. And not doing your math homework since 2008,
I haven't done homework in a long time.
That and, Iron Fangs, because they have so many decent abilities, I think are also, I wouldn't say they're not worth their points cause they are, but because they're a little more pricey, I had to kind of pick and choose where I go with
things. Do you remember how much 5 demo core or 6 demo core, however many demo core?
5 demo core and Mark 1
are
86 points.
Really?
They're 9 points.
Wow, they're 9 points in Mark 2. That's also a big 6.
They used to be so cheap, though. They were amazing for their
points. It's not really that big of a change, though. I mean,
9 is less. Okay, when the Jack or when you're what you're buying costs less to the 10th. So like if something's 100 points, well, in Mark II, that's more. Because like if Demo Core costs 9 and a full unit costs 80 something, you're spending too
much. Well, I figure your points cost is sunk into the 8 wounds per guy. And I think they're some of the most survivable troops in the game because of their armor, too. So.
Yeah.
The Demo Core? I give the Shock Troopers.
Shock Troopers have Shield Wall, which obviously makes
them. And an additional point of armor.
Yeah. But. I was thinking offensive output when I built the list. So
right. And they're still pretty offensive. I mean,
yeah,
they still have both their special attacks, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Let me ask this. We talked a little bit about the point differential and actually putting things in the list. Do you think anything in the list actually serves a different role now than it did before?
The Dracoon, I think, is a little bit different. I mean, I think he also can fill that bodyguard role a little bit better. In Mark 1, he's just so good for his points that there's no reason not to take him with a dismount, and you just send him out there to go willy-nilly and kill stuff. But 10 wounds and then 8 when dismounted now?
Yep.
I mean, that's you know, there's a significant risk of him dying. I think he's a little bit. He's also cheaper though too. He's 5 points with the dismount.
I wouldn't
versus
say
versus being 70 points.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily a risk, but his output for his points is probably not going to be as high because before he'd go in there, impact attacks, make an axe attacks. If you don't dismount him, then he's hitting you with the hooves and the flying steel.
Right.
And then you finally dismount him, and now he's still flying steel. Flying steel and another 10 boxes to chew through. It's going to be. I mean, I've had numerous times where I've had that damn Dracoon off his horse at one or two boxes, and now that it seems so. You know. Like, it's not a big deal to lose 2 boxes, but in the end, you know, I can
actual gameplay, it can be huge.
Yep.
Okay. I'm curious what you think about the IFP dropping down to a minimum unit plus the UA. I mean, fluff-wise, we know they're supposed to be jack killers, and in Mark 1, they certainly have their place. But in Mark 2, do you think the minimum unit of that unit in particular is going to hurt you at all?
I think it will because, that can reduce your threat range by almost 2 inches, in many cases because of base sizes. What is a little more than an inch?
Yeah. It's like 1.1.
Yeah, I mean, negligible difference, but you say roughly 2 inches. That's 1 inch on each side that, if they're holding up the middle, that's a bigger gap for people to get through. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a detriment. I'd actually like to play it out and see. Because I get the feeling that I'd rather play my revised list more than the direct translation.
Well, while you're talking about losing space there on your Iron Fangs, now remember the new shield wall doesn't require everyone to be lined up.
Right. I can do like the triangles of death or whatever.
Exactly. Or you can set up those zones of reach that people need to walk through for free strikes. You know, you can actually spread them out more than before, I think.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, Z. I think I'm just going to have to mess around with it some more. I definitely think there's a potential there to probably actually maximize the space and maybe expand it a little bit on the protective of threat ranges.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing that I've actually been noticing with my I've been using the Hammerfall High Shields recently, and they have Shield Wall as well. And while it seems beneficial to gain the space, and obviously the IFP have reach and are a bigger melee threat, but going out and pairing up in twos in a defensive line-esque kind of thing, you lose the Shield Wall a lot more because they're going to be killing one, and then you're going to have a two. Whereas old Shield Wall, it's really hard to break someone out of Shield Wall.
That's why you run them in threes? With all them basing with each other?
The triangle, yeah. And it's not as bad with them either because they have ranked attack and stuff like that. But if you really want to gain space, especially when I'm running a min unit, and they don't even have a UA. So I only have 6. I'm trying to keep my charge lanes. I want them to have to kill the armor 19 target first. But, Stu was having to boost with his Manticore shots to try to kill him, and he couldn't do it. That's pretty funny.
It's hilarious.
Okay.
So I have to ask a question real quick about the new shield wall. Does it still have the back arc thing where if you drift behind the shield wall, you get...
It sure does.
It does.
But since you don't have to be shoulder to shoulder anymore, you could actually put them back to back so that you could ignore any attacks coming from your back arc, right?
Unless a deviation deviated in between the two bases.
Yeah. Or someone like Crevasse from Mozart or something like that. If he still has it.
Yeah, it'd be possible to get around it. But
also, if you shoot someone in their back, there's no screening anymore. If you put them back to back, if you begin on their left side, you can still see that guy. You know what I mean? Like let's say instead of being perpendicular, you just flip them parallel. Or I guess they're still
exactly,
parallel.
Exactly, yeah, that's what I was going for.
But if you're on the left side and you're shooting in towards that, you're actually hitting that guy's back arc. So if I had a unit of Widowmakers, I could just move them at a diagonal. Pretend they were in base-to-base. I move them at a diagonal. Now one can shoot one guy in the back and the other can shoot the other guy in the back.
Correct. But they're Widowmakers. You don't care about the armor anyway.
It doesn't – whatever.
The point stands, yes.
Yes.
You're still enabling it to get around that effect.
The best part about – having shield wall hammer falls is when you can't hit them because their defense is so high. 11.
I was about to say.
Stu couldn't hit them.
All right. Tim.
All right. So
your phase 3. This is the list where you want to just kind of change it up to
what I would be more comfortable with. Yeah. So changing it, I still stuck with Zirkova, obviously. I changed the Spriggan to Beast 09. So I actually, he's 11 points versus the Spriggan's 10. So. Actually had to spend a point there. I added in a War Dog. I dropped out the Demo Corps altogether, and I added in the Great Bears, who are still rock solid in Mark II, so I figured that would be an interesting change. Still have 3 units of Grey Lords. Now I have a full unit of Iron Fang pikemen and the unit attachment. Widowmakers, a mortar crew, a Colden Lord, a Dracoon with dismount, and then Epic Eris again. So the big change is that I got a much more effective jack for its cost. I think there's a offensive capability and the potential for crit freeze on the Watcher attack. It far outweighs any, detriment to switching it out from the Spriggan. From there, the full unit of Iron Fang pikemen's they're the threat range that they can put out, and as you said, with the formation, the twos and threes, that can really put a hamper on people trying to get in with either arc nodes or just their troops. Mm-hmm. Gray Lords still fill the same role. Mortar and Widowmaker still fill a similar role. The big change is that the Jack and adding in a Wardog. Wardog is a nice little bodyguard with some protection as well.
And the Great Bears
The Great Bears. I think their offensive output is almost the same as the Demo Corps. Because usually when I play Demo Corps, most of the time I go for two swings versus the additional die of damage.
I've seen most
of them. So their output's about the same. Weapon Master with POW.
I think that's 12.
12 on
the Great Bears. That's key for a 5-man unit to let them basically
match with a 10-man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I do like the addition of the War Dog, because I know just dealing with it by itself is annoying, but that and Watcher both possibly triggering as I move in is really, really annoying.
Well, I essentially have almost three counter charges. If you look at Watcher, it's kind of a pseudo counter charge. You get three different models hit the same one.
And what's really cool is something that Tim was stating the other day with the War Dog. It's a solo now, and you have to remain within the Warcaster's area, so you can run around and you can still use the return ability. So let's say I'm out, 10 inches away from my Warcaster, I can countercharge something and then move the full distance back to my Warcaster.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty sweet.
That's a pretty cool little way to utilize that.
And the dog still has tough, so he is kind of survivable.
That's funny.
Absolutely.
That's also, let's face it, that's a 1-point mile that you can run somewhere and take a point and steamroller or take a zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has countercharge. So it's like if you try to run into it, he can charge you and try to kill you.
Would be funny.
That would be awesome.
Tough son of a bitch.
So that is the Cold Shoulder Mark II.
Very good.
It sounds like for the most part, especially the stuff you have a lot of stuff that didn't change in its application, which I think is kind of
right.
Makes sense for Kador because their application is to beat your face anyway.
True.
Yeah, Kador doesn't need a lot of shenanigans.
No, they don't. I think Zirkova provides enough shenanigans, especially. I think people are going to be surprised at her abilities with influence. I think it's a one focus spell. I mean, come on,
Only thing is she doesn't have an arc node.
No, but she can cast it 8 times because she can make it cost 0 focus one time with her focus.
What's the range on it though?
10 inches.
Yeesh. If she's within 10 inches of the front line, that could be trouble.
It could be death for the enemy, though.
It could be.
I can cast it 8 times and get it to work and hits, if in the Protectorate I hit a Paladin on the wall and he hits something with his POW fit, P plus S 15 mm-hmm. firebrand, that's pretty huge.
Absolutely.
Or, if you hit a side model in the unit of Temple Flame Guard or something and just start poking his buddies, catch them on fire.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great, because an Epic QR can feat and get more focus.
But they die before that.
And then the Assault Commandos are immune to it.
Yep.
Well, I guess I also brought a list, although I did not make a Tier 3, but we can work on that. Not a big deal. I mentioned actually in the last episode, I believe, that I love Darius. So I brought a 750-point Darius list. It worked out to 745 as well. It was Darius, Double Centurion, and Old Rowdy. Squire, Journeyman Warcaster, and this was my tournament steamroller list. So I really loved the ability for his continuity, but also his ability to have a sense of board control with the speed and crane, as well as being able to hold points and resurrect jacks and stuff. But to support him in the steamroller environment, I brought the following list of mercs, because the German, the Squire, the Jax, and Darius are actually my only Signar models in the list. I brought Anastasia DeBray for the plus one to go first, which is mm-hmm. all I really brought her for. And then I brought Epic Eris, and the rest of them are all supporting the Pressgangers. I brought a full unit of Pressgangers, and then supporting them, Bosun Grogsbar, First Mate Hawk, Rockbottom, and the Piper. So that works out to 745, and honestly, it was a pretty evil list. I in my tournament time with it, I do believe I never lost with it. It was the press gangers were just no one. I mean, you can't. I don't think there's anything in the game that hits as hard and as accurately and with such a distance as they do with those solos backing them up.
They just are Papa String 17 or something like that.
Well, with Darius, it's only 15. But yeah, if you have like a spell like Lethargy or Prime, they can get 17. Right. But you know, they're mat 5 with boosted attack rolls, being able to move through with 2 attacks at pal 15, 3 attacks if I want to use March. They can ignore rough terrain with March or get an additional plus 2 inches or the additional attack. Plus, in the beginning, I can give them the plus 1 defense and tear, bring them up to def 14. That's always nice. You know, they're going to be fearless. They're going to be 4, 5, 6 tough with no knockdown. So they're really just holding the center in the beginning and doing ridiculous things. One of my favorite times that I had used them was against my buddy Matt. We show up in a tournament and he puts his sentry stones out. So first turn, I move up and I march them for plus 2 inches of movement, and they're full AD'd and run Hawk, and then they just kill both the sentry stones right off the bat and just have this center, and then there's this huge Jack Force right behind them. And, you know, that kind of loss of momentum for a Circle Army trying to gain, you know, in a board position advantage where all of a sudden I have all this advantage and everything I have is tough to kill, whether it be, you know, tough or jacks. So it was I really enjoyed the list, and when I ended up translating it to Mark II, it turned out being 48 points. You know, same exact list. I guess with 2 points, I could add
Reinhold for a pressure cooker.
He doesn't have pressure cooker in Mark II.
Well, he just got an AOE, but
you
get 2 of them.
Did you already Esquire in that list?
Yes, I did. So 2 points, I think I would add maybe Arlen. He's got the power booster, which is really nice with Darius.
Yeah.
He's going to be casting full throttle, so I think I would say that.
And he repairs too.
And he does repair as well.
Because of the new feat, repair is more important.
Changes to the list. The maneuverability of the list goes down greatly. You're losing both Crane and the plus 2 inches from full throttle. That really hampers those jacks, as well as new AD doesn't allow the press gangers to be as invasive. So Anastasia DeBray still gives the plus 1 to the roll to begin, so that's always going to be helpful. Also, with the lack of speed, getting the encroachment essentially on the army is going to be really important. While Hawk and the press gangers, they're really not going to be as efficient because now they gain an additional die. They don't go up to pal 15. So they hit it. They're essentially mat 9 weapon masters, and only against warrior models. So they're not really going to do as much damage against Jackson's things like that. But luckily, you know, you do have Darius and his jacks who can
still
really
hope Blaine is going to do damage against Jax.
Yeah. but it was nice. Honestly, I really enjoyed them against beasts a lot because beasts seemed to be fleet of feet, and my jacks were kind of slow. And now, especially without the minus 2, they were good against beasts, but they can still tie them up and things like that. And seems like everyone else does kind of similar things. An added bonus is Bosun Grogsbar gives no sleeping on the job to all privateer models. So, all the guys from the pirate crew are going to be able to, you know, gain their bonuses. And another really huge hit to bringing this strong core of mercs is the way the Piper changed. Without the plus 2 or the additional attack, Pathfinder's nice, the plus 1 defense is nice, but I also think it's another 2 points that I wouldn't even bother with. So if I were to make a new list, I think it would look something like this. I honestly would keep a Centurion. A lot of people maligned the Centurion, but by giving it boosted attack rolls and the ability to crit sustain is really going to be nice. I will sub one of his brothers out for the Hammersmith. No, the
I knew you were going with the Hammersmith.
I got to go with the Hammersmith. The Stormclad's awesome, and I honestly would consider it, but I think I'm going to go with Hammersmith.
The Hammersmith gives you a nice little extra element of board control.
He really does.
Is it combo smite?
Chain attack smite.
Yeah.
So he's really going to be wrecking stuff. And he has an absurd pow. He's 2 pow 17s in Mark II. That's really high. That's 1 off old Rowdy, but he's got a second one and a chain attack.
Does he still have beatback?
Yes, he does.
So he's actually faster than he looks like on paper, because if you can get him into combat with something, he's still moving forward after he's moved his speed.
Right. Also, an interesting thing, I guess, I think I might have brought up with you, Josh. Let's say that I hit once, beat back, hit once, beat back, or chain attack, and it's a slam. I would still get the beat back, correct? Because it's whenever he makes an attack with the melee weapon.
When we were looking at it...
No, his new rule is follow-up. which is he gets to follow whenever he slams a mob.
No, he has both rules.
He does have both.
You would, yeah. I think you'd get the...
From when we looked at it, it seemed like he would also follow up or beat back on.
He'd beat back the 1 inch, and then
which is really
up.
It's a really funny interaction. He has follow up on his body, and on his hammers he has beat back, and the chant attack is on his hammers. It says after the real question is the chant attack. The real question is a chant attack a normal attack?
The chant attack is a normal.
It
attack.
Is a normal melee attack, and so
at least in this case it is.
In this case, unless they specify in the rules, which you know the rules weren't completely finished in Mark II, maybe they'll say chant attacks aren't. But as it resolves right now. The enemy model can be pushed 1 inch directly away from the attacking model, and then afterwards it can advance 1 inch. So it seems like you can, you know, after resolving the attack, or after it's slammed, you would actually get to
shift move an inch if you really somewhere and then move.
And it does, like, pretend something was in the way, you could actually scoot an inch over, because it doesn't say directly towards.
Right.
It does say directly away, but it says the attacking model can advance up to 1 inch. So that's a interesting little thing there. But yeah, and Old Rowdy also rounding it out. If I didn't want to bring Old Rowdy, now that you have me thinking about it, Z, I think I'm actually I may get rid of Old Rowdy, and I'm going to put the Stormclad in. And the reason why is because I think this motley crew of pirates has to go. And even though I don't play Signar in Mark II, adding the Stormblades and their officer, in my opinion, I think they're amazing. They're going to be really great at clearing infantry because of their ability to shoot AoEs. And honestly, for 8 points, for eight models that can wreck face, it's going to be awesome. Plus, giving focus to the Stormclad, in my opinion, is going to be at the utmost importance. I'm still going to include Arlen Strangeways in again. Thinking so much about Cador and Mark II, I can't not bring something that has power booster. I think that's dumb.
So good,
especially with a focus starved caster like Darius. You know, you really want to make sure you're getting what you need out of him. A squire and journeyman. I mean, most people call him auto includes. I just call him stupid. And I can't imagine not trying to bring them at least in the list. If they come out, they come out. But what are you going to do? I honestly, especially with the loss of speed, I'm still going to include Anastasia DeBray in the list. The plus one to the roll is just silly. I love it when I was playing Kalandra last week at War Machine Weekend, and I'd roll a six. I'd be like, I go first. Because you just do. If they don't have something in their army that allows them to, you just automatically win.
I did the same thing in the 500 I played in.
That happened to me.
That's ridiculous. I did it to you with the Coven.
Oh, I was also thinking of the guy that I played who had 26 or 29 AD models, including two units of Press Gangers and Durgan and all this. He was the guy who won that first, of course, rushed past the land, the no man's land, and essentially won the game on top of turn one.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that wasn't a, was a good game.
I think change in AD rules and bringing Anastasia back was probably one of the better things that happened.
That
in Mark
was the exact conversation he and I had after the game.
Yep. And I mean, in Mark One, it's completely fair. I played a Steamroller tournament with Kryos, Idrians, and Anastasia the same way. And that's how Mark One works. But Mark Two, the fact that you can't, I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is.
Thank God.
Yeah.
No more Trencher Rush, no more Adrian Rush, no more Strider Rush. Oh, it'll be great.
No more 131.
That should be good for you, Tim, because that means it can't be topped.
This is true.
It's a record that is going to go away at the end of this next month, isn't it? I mean, after that, no one can top it ever because that game is over.
It doesn't go away. That just means it's there forever.
That's what I meant. I meant the system's going away.
Just bronze that bitch.
I think it'll come back in some kind of format.
I guess it's fair to say at this point that
I'm not done with the list yet.
You have to completely redo your list. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you still got a heavy Jack compliment. Still, like I said,
but that's pretty much any Darius list. It sounds to me like you're having to redo the list. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be. I'm saying that unlike Tim, your stuff plays different enough that you need to rework it. So at this point, I mean, you go ahead and fill out the list, but the point is clearly made that it's something that you had to. We've got to reinvent, basically.
I think the one thing about the other list that's going to stand true is the entire concept. So I said we've got the jacks. Now with jack points, I can bring more jacks, which for him is going to be great, or at least more expensive. More expensive jacks. I still want hard-hitting infantry, so I'm filling that slot with the Stormblades. Anastasia DeBray is still there to fill in for the plus one. Strangeways made it into the Mark II cut. Epic Garrison Journeyman were already there. And actually, my final addition to the list is going to be – it's going to be applied differently to than the way I had it in the first one. But even though I already have one expensive unit in there, I'm going to put the Arcane Tempest Gun Mages with the officer in there.
The dude.
I think that their board control is going to be very important. And without the ability to AD and really put the pressure on, sniping targets, you know, getting off, you know, pushes and things like that with them is going to be, in my opinion, really important. Plus,
especially against Protector Jax, who have no defense against it.
Exactly.
They're all magic weapons.
And the addition of True Sight, while maligned, that he did not have the get all the different attacks like Black Penny and things like that. True Sight is a big boost. And with Snipe and True Sight, and they're all rat 7 now, is nice. And while, yeah, you know, they're soft. And, you know, maybe the Stormblade's soft too. I'll probably end up putting Arcane Shield on them. But I'm going to have three Jax just bolting towards you the entire game. And I think that with the extra focus from the Squire, the extra focus from Strangeways,
and the Stormblades.
And the Stormcloud with the Stormblades, I'm getting a lot of efficiency out of these.
That makes you effectively, that, what, a 9 for 3 turns?
Yeah,
a 9
for at least 3 turns,
that's
and 8s all around. And that, yeah, that's, you know, that's stupid.
AK and I were talking Wednesday at the store, and he's convinced me that I need to get the dude. I had a unit of Gun Mages, but I hadn't been toying with them yet, so I'm going to have to give him a shot.
Oh, yeah.
The True Sight alone. Marshall. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he has a good Jack Marshall, too. Not as good as a Mark 1, but a good Jack Marshall nonetheless.
Well, he went up to Jack Marshall, too.
He's a defender, and he's solid.
Yeah, but that's... I don't want to give.
I tend not to do the heavies, especially in Signar.
Unless it's a Rulic heavy. I don't mind giving.
Well, yeah.
Well, I agree with you. I thought that way too, about not giving heavies to anybody but the casters. But I actually tried it out, right, with the Gun Mage and the Defender.
Yep.
Holy crap! Because you can do the critical brutal shot, and using his Jack Marshall, you boost the attack roll.
Yep.
And you can get a 3-die attack and damage roll with the Defender. Now, admittedly, if it's a low target, you choose that shot anyways, and if you crit, you get a 4-die damage roll on your Defender.
Yep, that's true. That is true.
Inbuilt snipe on your Defender, no matter what caster you have. You have a 20-inch Defender shot.
Well, and if you really wanted to make it efficient, Strangeways could always walk over and say, hey, power booster.
Yep, absolutely.
There you go.
So, I mean, you could really... Potentially, it has two focus on it.
Z, you've sold me. I still think that the idea that was the plans that this was built on is still there. Just the way it's applied is a little bit different. And honestly, running two Centurions, while I felt stupid just going around just murdering people with them, I'm happy to get a little variety.
I loved those lists, people running two Centurions, because then one was usually stationary for most of the game. And Mark one.
That's the reason why
I have a 500 point list.
I know.
That's the reason I make people chew through an entire annoying.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Before that,
smart play. I had seen plenty of people do that, and that was
so. That's pretty much how I would put this list out.
Okay. Do you need to take off, Jason?
Yeah, I think I'm going to.
Okay. All right. So now that Jason's left us, we can get on to the Protectorate. I mean, we didn't need him here for that, right? I mean, it's the Protectorate. They just burn stuff.
Yeah.
So for my list, I went back to Z asked me a question originally. What's your favorite warcaster? And that was going to spark a discussion of a list around them. And I didn't really have one, but I had a lot of options, a lot of guys I thought was top tier, and I picked Epic Fiora because some of the changes to her and the other Jax in her army made this probably the more interesting perspective. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
So I have an Epic Fiora list, and my 750 list that I played, actually, I think I won a beer machine tournament with it.
Did you say this was Epic Fiora?
Yeah, this is Epic Fiora, and I bring with her a Devout, a Redeemer, which I bond, and a Guardian. A lot of people malign the Guardian because it's frail, and that's a fair point. But I like it with Epic Fiora because with Escort, it's a speed 6 heavy with reach. And it's also an arc node, so if on her feet turn, she fills up with focus but can't get to anybody and wants to spend it, she can still throw out her attack spells. So it gives
her. If it's not dead.
Yeah, if it's not dead. Obviously, you can't lead the way with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit of a tactical choice I made there. I mean, like Tim said, he leads with his. He doesn't lead with his heavy warjack. I don't either. On top of that, I brought Vilmon, a rack, which is really just point filler, but it's a rack, so it's focused. What can I complain about?
Well, most Protectorate players that I talk to, it's like, I got 10 points left. Oh, two racks. Yep. Done.
Six Choir. Ding. Daughters of the Flame, full Vengers, full TFG with the unit attachment, and the Piper. And that is 750 on the nose.
Mm-hmm. The sweet spot.
And, you know, there's a quite a bit of flexibility list in my mind. Your one danger is you don't want to shoot your Redeemer near your daughters. But, you know, honestly, there are three good units for Blazing Aura in this list. Neither of them are bad. The Daughters, the Avengers, or the Flame Guard. I actually like it on Avengers because once they get hit, their armor gets bumped right back up to where it is anyway. And usually you have to hit them pretty hard to take them out, so you're going to reflect a big damage roll. I've had other units of Cav crash up against mine and wipe both off the table. And in most cases, I'm okay with that. We've if it's done correctly. Yeah.
And I completely forgot what that spell did. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to lose every model. And I did, but I took his whole unit with
me. Yeah. But a lot of times that's okay depending on the rest of the board.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Also the TFG, they're good with it. And the Daughters, you know, Blazing Aura and have them run up to your front lines, that's just a pain in the ass. Even if they wind up not killing anything, it's extra effort on your end to deal with them, and which, you know, is making you quote-unquote waste resources.
And take damage while doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did it transition?
It transitioned pretty much exactly with the exception of I had 2 points left over. So my 50-point list is actually a 49-point list. I'm sorry, I had three points left over. It's Epic Fiora again, a Devout, the Redeemer, and the Guardian. I still have the Choir, the Daughters, the Avengers, the TFG, Vilmon, the Piper. I have to buy 3 racks as opposed to 1, but they're only 1 point. And that left me with 3 points left over, so I threw in a vassal.
Okay.
Because I have a Redeemer that causes fire. Why would I not want a vassal?
Exactly.
And play-wise, it's different. The main reason is the Cav. They are no longer what they used to be. They don't hold up to the same amount of punches. They're not... Well, Blazing Aura doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, they are... They have a great threat range, but they don't have the staying power they used to have. They can't quite tie stuff up and just get in there and be annoying. You know, you can take them down. So it's they play a much different role now.
Mm-hmm. I think they're more support oriented, which is weird to say for Cav, but mm-hmm. I think in general, Cav are starting to play that role more often.
I'm curious to how that's going to change, if it changes at all down the line. Obviously, we know where they're restricted by the command radius and all that. So I'm curious to see if they sort of go away, or if they're selected for extinction, so to speak, or if people are going to just find new uses for
them. We'll see. Maybe smaller units, but you know, I still have the Piper. Yeah. I saw the Piper. Tim, you mentioned how the Piper's changed. Or no, Jason did. How he's changed and doesn't have quite the same abilities. But, you know, the TFG still have Iron Zeal, which is to prevent stationary or knockdown. So you can still stack that with the Heroic Call, which is great because it means your TFG, if they pass their tough roll, are still standing. The difference is now I can tough them every single turn, and I can make them just a picket, and they can just get in the way. And maybe I don't shield wall them every turn for, you know, maybe I go ahead and run them a couple turns just to get them further up the table. I can still tough them and just, you know, make them a little bit of a, you know, pain in the butt. And they still cause fire. And, you know, that's great. So really the big change, like we said, was the flexibility in TFG and the big change in the Avengers. Everything else mostly plays the same. I like the Daughters change though. They
lost Shank, right?
Yeah, they lost Shank, but they gained anatomical precision on their 2 swords.
Oh, nice.
What?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Daughters, if they... Holy crap. Oh, yeah, if they hit
daughters
you at the point
of
damage.
Snipers.
Yeah, Daughters of the Melee Snipers. So that's really cool. They are pretty nice. So they've got that going for them. You know, they're still just as frail as they used to be, though. You know, any AoE drifts over, I'm just going to kill them.
They gained a point of defense, is that right?
I don't think so.
They're defense 15 in Mark 2?
No, are they 15 now?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
No, I thought they're 14 in Mark 1.
They're 14 in Mark 1.
So they did gain a
Yeah, point wow. In. I didn't even think. Yeah. So.
Nice.
The extra racks, the change in AD is going to change your use in racks. I'm going to probably put at least 2 of them behind me. Maybe on the front of my lines if I go first and can get away from them. Mm-hmm. but I'm going to put them where I can draw from them later. I pretty much have to put them where I'm not going to go because I don't have the 12-inch play anywhere. I only have 6. That's actually a big change for rack placement. I mean, I'm okay with them not going up there and causing fear and stuff. And I understand because everything else that is AD lost it. For consistency's sake, I'm glad they didn't give me a special rule that let me put them up to 12. But it does make you think about their placement a little bit more restrictively.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a lot of the changes in the Protectorate kind of do that.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily change their function, but how they're deployed or how they're used in the game kind of changes.
Yeah, a little bit. I think the Protectorate got a lot of tweaks. We'll put it that way.
Yeah,
but that's it, and that's pretty much, like I said, it plays very similar. It's you still got a large threat range. Probably what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead with my Vengers. I'm going to run them up one flank and second turn, hopefully charge and get, do as much damage as I can. And I'm probably going to lose a majority of them. So I got to be careful. I would ignite him. That is true. I do have ignite now, which is plus two to damage rolls, just like regular Fjord has and crit fire. Ignite on them would be pretty good. Actually, ignite on anything in this list would be fine. Ignite in Vilmon. Sure, why not?
On the daughters would be hilarious.
Well, they automatically do a point of damage, so I think it's kind of wasted unless they go for a multi-wound target.
Because they're only nines, I think.
Oh, yeah, so it doesn't matter what their POW is.
Unless you can somehow guarantee a crit fire, because ignite gives you the crit fire.
Right. Yeah.
Now, would ignite also work with impact attacks?
It's a melee attack.
Melee attack damage rolls?
Yeah, so they become 12s.
Ooh, that means they become even better at clearing through troopers then.
Yeah, stuff like tough still messes with it. And with the more spread out formations now, I think it's going to be easier to kind of make a cav model go through two infantry models to get to what it wants, basically preventing it from, well, two infantry models, how do I put this? There's one infantry model, then further up there's a second one, and then there's what you really want to get to. So basically stopping the charge because you can't make a second round of impact attacks.
Following along with your train of thought, Dave, I think with the changes in formations in Mark II, I think Tall in the Saddle is going to actually be more important because of how you can position your models and stuff. You know, because a lot of times when I play Cav in Mark I, it's just I'm going to hit that front target. You know, I've charged targets behind things before, but usually I just go willy-nilly into the front of the unit because depending on my threat range or where I'm at. But now it's going to just be like, okay, I definitely want that guy.
In a lot of cases, Tall in the Saddle won't be doing much for you, though, since you're on a large base and it only really triggers on medium bases and small bases. You're usually going to have line of sight anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But one thing it does let you do is we talked about the three-man shield wall units, which are kind of probably going to be more common now in case until the meta changes. I mean, the little three-man clumps. With a POW 12 impact attack, you can go ahead and charge right into the front two, trigger the impact attack, and you have a fair chance of killing them. And even if you don't, you can still Tall the Saddle up to stab the guy in the back who you declared as your charge target.
Yep.
Right.
So
that's what I was kind of
if you can get that out there, that's a great way to deal with shield wall troops because you're killing three with one, even though you're only at one guy for every two of theirs. So you're kind of getting a little bit of differential in your favor there. So
you have need to do that. Otherwise, they're being useless.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the problem. I mean, if someone's not fielding shield wall and they spread out, Cav lose a lot of versatility because they're going to kill one guy, maybe two if they're lucky, and get swarmed.
Right.
So.
Which is why Soul Hunters are still good.
Still, it's only the 5-inch move that, you know, you used to have a 9 or an 8-inch move, right? Now it's only down to 5. And not ignoring free strikes just makes that a little more difficult.
I think the constant reach is...
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
And
it gives
the
you
two
that.
Attacks.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, one of them is only 1/2-inch, though, but still they're a little bit better. But I still think that loss of free strikes on light cavalry is going to hurt a little bit.
Now, you do know that because of Darag, they become incorporeal, which allows them to ignore the free strikes.
If they can start close to them, but I mean...
It's not bad. It's a 9-inch command range.
Well, I think if I play my Soul Hunters, they're going to be across the board on turn one anyway, so they're not going to be anywhere near there. Because remember, they get to run and then move their extra 5.
That's true. They do.
So 23 inches.
It sounds like if you're going to play with that trick with Derek, you're going to be using Derek almost strictly as the incorporeal battery, and you're not going to get as much bang out for his buck, you know, for what he can do until maybe turn 3 or something.
Potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Your first two turns are just going to be keeping up.
I wouldn't be able to comment on that.
All right, so I went ahead and made an altered list too. And the first thing I did was drop my Guardian for a Vanquisher.
Good call.
That's dumb.
Yeah, because, well, as much as I liked having an Arc Node, the Vanquisher just brings more to the table in this list.
Stupid Fire Temple.
Oh, yes. Then I was looking at it and I decided, you know what? I really don't need the Vengers in this list. And I could drop them down to 5. I'm sorry, I could drop them down to 3. But you know what? Let's just get rid of them and add another Vanquisher.
Oh.
And another Vassal.
Suck.
And the Covenant. And call it done.
Dumb.
That Covenant is so...
And I also... Yeah, it is.
It's so good.
I also added in Epic Iris. And I added in Epic Iris because I have a shitload of templates in this army. And I needed something with pinpoint accuracy to deal with that one model I have to directly hit. And also give me some upkeep removal as a utility. So she actually is in there. I think she's going to serve a good role in this particular army. She's not just in there to mess with people. She has a purpose here.
Well, isn't your Vanquisher Rat 7 with the choir?
Yes.
So he could actually run and then a vassal could just make him fire after he was done running, and you would probably have a longer threat range than Epic Iris.
Yeah, it could. I don't know. She's a 9 though, right? I mean, I guess with the loss of screening, that 7 is basically a 9 in many cases. So
exactly. It's 9's overkill.
But yeah, so this list, I'm just going to go ahead and read through it now, just make it easier. It's Epic Fiora, the Devout, I kept it in there, the Redeemer, 2 Vanquishers, Full Choir, Daughters, Full TFG with the Unit Attachment, Epic Iris, I left Vilmon in, the Covenant, 3 Racks, and 2 Vassals. So each Vassal is going to pair himself up with a Vanquisher, and it's going to be the V-Teams, and they're just going to go and cause all sorts of fits. Between Enliven and Ancillary Attack, I'm sure there's something that they can do to be a pain in the butt for any given turn. I've got plenty of TFG to form a picket up front and kind of slow people down.
No Piper, though.
No Piper. I did drop him out basically in exchange for the Covenant, mostly to keep my Jax mobile and make it so you can't knock down Fiora.
I think that's a pretty good exchange for the most part.
The
Covenant's pretty sweet.
So, the Piper's not as good as he used to be. He's still okay, but I just felt the Covenant could do a little bit better here.
I don't think he's as auto including the Protectorate anymore as he used to be.
Well, the only big difference is, or at least in terms of his abilities, is that he doesn't give you extra movement anymore.
Right.
And the fact that that is a changing thing, I think, is a huge statement about what he
telling,
did.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I also think you'll see him with a lot more with Signar, I think, now than you will with the Protectorate. Because Signar doesn't have a whole ton of abilities for terrain mitigation.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what Protectorate has that mitigates terrain, and I'm not coming up with anything.
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot, but
Adrian's half Pathfinder. So, yeah, I mean...
Like, honestly, I really don't think there's much there.
No, there's not.
Well, and Signar's kind of in the same
thing
boat,
is, though,
too.
The thing is now you can Rangers charge across rough terrain. Mm-hmm. I mean, the TFG are the only thing that are really going to miss it. I mean, the Vanquishers are mostly going to be shooting stuff on the way in. They're not necessarily going to need to be charging across rough terrain.
Right.
It's more for your tough than anything else, I think.
Yeah. But like I said, it's a trade. You know, you could easily, if you wanted to drop the Covenant or a Vassal for the Piper, you could. And there'd be nothing wrong with it. But it was just, I decided to change it up on this list.
And does she still have her bond?
She does. Uh-huh. She does. Which is still the Redeemer.
So I have 3 AoE fire-causing jacks.
Ugh. One of which with a rate of fire 3.
One with rate of fire 3 and 2 with rate of fire 2.
We don't need any focus.
I saw this list, I just like, this is the grossest list I've ever seen for the Protectorate.
Before we go off the Piper too much, unless I missed it, you know, Fearless is going to be a lot bigger deal in Mark 2 than it was in
this
Mark 1.
True.
And so putting it on the Daughters in a certain key area, maybe if you're going against Crix with lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Fearless is his ability to give you Fearless is going to be huge.
That's cool, but keep in mind Fiora has Inspiration Flame Guard.
Sure, but if they're AD, they're going to be running upfield. They may not even be in her command.
Yeah, but if they do have to turn around, or if she walks up to them, they'll immediately rally.
Sure. So, even outside of Fiora, just in general, the fact that Fearless is just a bigger deal in Mark 2, I guess.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
The lack of Fearless is a bigger deal in Mark 2, I think, is
the proper
way of calling that.
Sure, yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see, especially once the Horde's field test lands, you know, certain things like the lack of Fearless, how that's, I mean, because they didn't have as much as War Machine to begin with. Mm-hmm, so
true.
I think the impact on them is actually going to be less. But then you also factor in things like I'm going to be interested to see how Circle plays, because, you know, everybody had in Mark 1 abilities to ignore terrain for when they're charging to a certain extent. Now they're the only ones that really do it.
Well, Pathfinder,
or
don't
will
forget,
most likely do it right. because of Pathfinder.
Wings still does. Or Flight, I'm sorry.
Does, yeah. Pathfinder still lets you, in Wings too, or Flight, would let you go over linear obstacles when you're charging as well. Only Pathfinders have that ability.
Yeah, so I think they're going to have an interesting advantage. It'd be neat to see.
Oh, and Temple Flame Guard is one thing. Having the new ranked attack means the Vanquishers can shoot right through them,
as
can the Redeemer.
Magic,
yeah, it's virtually Neil. Yep.
You don't have to be as aggressive with your Jax if you don't want to be.
Correct.
Which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got a long-ass range with them. They're 10s now, aren't they?
What are the...
Vanquishers?
Yes, they are. They're 10s.
They used to be, what, 9s or 8s?
They used to be 9s, and they're still 16s on the Redeemers.
Yeah, well, you know. I was not expecting that to change.
No.
And still AoE 4s on those shots.
Yes, AoE 4. What's the POW on the... On
is
like
it
14? 14?
And it is auto-fire.
Now, here's the drawback of this list. Salt Commandos.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
One freaking unit. I don't even own them.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going
just
to?
It's one of those things where you never know what's going to come out either, though.
True.
Because especially with Strakov, you never know.
Maybe Pyre Trolls or something stupid like that.
Well, and
Epic Piper will give you a continuous effect.
Oh, immunity. There we go. Okay.
Something else to consider as well with your you have a lack right now of repair.
Magic.
This is true.
And they did say that every faction is going to get the ability to repair in some faction. So you may be getting a solo or a unit attachment or a unit down the road that will repair for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said everyone's going to get it. I can't remember if they said in Prime or in their faction books. By the end of next year, I will have a repair something.
I'd like to see it as a unit of vassals.
Probably switch out a vassal for a unit of like mini vassals.
Yeah.
Could be. Could
potentially
be.
UA for the choir even.
I think that would be much cooler.
But it could be.
Yeah. Because you're playing your choir more forward now than probably than you do in Mark 1, I would think. So.
Well, and then it could have like extended song range or something. Possibly, so you don't have to be right up on top of them anymore.
I don't think the choir needs any help, guys. I think it's just
I think making a repair guy's UA on the choir makes them worse. Because now you have to decide what you're going to do. That means you're bringing two choirs, probably a men one with UA and another one, which case that's going to be a bigger point sink for us protector players.
Especially if it's a song of some kind and you have to repair or buff. That's a decision you probably don't want to make.
The song of mending.
There you go.
Pistons heal yourself. Pistons heal.
You can see the bolts and the nuts flying around and inserting themselves and things.
What is it, Cinderella?
That's right.
Cinderella.
Can't play
Cinderella.
After midnight.
You mean Cinderella?
That's what it is. I'm not a Disney person. It's Flanzer.
Yeah, where's Flanzer when you need him?
For a Disney reference? Good God. What is coming with us?
But that's my change to Epic Fiora. I think that's the thing. A lot of like the core pieces of many of the Protector lists has changed, especially given my playstyles and my preferences.
That is one of the things I'm going to enjoy most about Mark II and Fight Club and our little thing that we're doing is I've read what everybody can do, but I'm not as familiar with it as I am in Mark One. You know, in Mark One, I can look at a model and basically tell you what it does.
Sure.
I remember in some of the first leagues in play when it was just like Prime and Escalation, and every time you'd play, you'd get something new and you'd be like, oh my God, I never knew what, you know, you don't realize what that surprise, that fun surprise factor is going to be fun again.
It is. It's going to be very interesting. I'm hopefully going to get you guys actually play me too, as opposed to just each other. You jerks.
Whatever.
What?
I'm just giving you trouble for being Fight Club.
We played.
Oh, Fight Club, sure.
I'll play anybody with my Signar because I'm going to need to know how not to lose.
I'll set it on fire.
Play Kador?
Yeah.
Dope.
So what do you guys think of the Protectorate changes?
I guess it's about what I expected. I've been looking at Protectorate more since that's what I'm playing next year. Mm-hmm. So I guess that it gives me a little bit of more insight, and I can look at this and see, okay, I probably would have done something similar, so I think I'm probably on the right track.
I think it's interesting that you went with a Jack instead of, you know, maybe something like the Bastions or something, you know, just another multi-wound unit for another option.
I thought about it and I could have made those changes, but that would have been, I was trying to keep the list as similar as possible. I could have done something like that, but I think two Vanquishers and the Redeemer with her is just sick. If I get lucky with fire rolls, I can waste your infantry on the way in. I can use my infantry to protect my jacks from your jacks, and then I can counterattack with my own jacks. And even if my infantry melts and your jacks can get to me, if I can get Enliven up, I can deny you follow-up attacks.
Right.
So,
I hit you once and now I move away.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like some infinitely strong force field. If you knock my jacks down or do anything, you can get by Enliven or just run stuff behind them. But
slam the jacks into the vassals.
Yeah,
shut them up.
Exactly. But it gives me a lot of flexibility that if you don't work around it, I have many lines of defense.
Well, the Vanquisher itself, I mean, especially with Battle Hymn, I think is what they call Infuse now in Mark 2. You know, makes it a 16 rat 7. This is discounting any other buffs you get it. That's going to take out both troops and jacks. Because you're going to be hitting jacks now with a rat 7.
Now, also keep in mind, I've got a score up. These are speed 6 heavies.
Sure. So you're gonna be able to attack anything you want on the field, most likely. So I mean, no matter what model I have, you could potentially take it out with Vanquishers.
Yeah, I think this list is gonna see some play once.
I imagine.
Yeah, I'm expecting to see a lot of Vanquishers on the table, which means even stealth isn't all that useful. Because, oh no, I missed. Oh, you're on fire if you didn't die.
Did the Vanquisher get reach?
The Vanquisher did not get reach.
Did not get reach, so he's still a half-inch melee.
I'll be interested to see if the Templar gets reach. Because
similar weapon.
They released the basically built models of the new Jacks and the old Jacks with the new kit. And basically the Vanquisher and the Templar have the same length of chain on their weapon. So the question is,
we're going to have another Nomad issue.
Wait, I thought one of them had a handle and the other one just had the chain attached to his fist.
That is correct. They actually do have different like.
I think the fists, handle basically. Is on the Templar?
The handle is on the Vanquisher.
Oh, on the Vanquisher. Yep. Okay.
Because the handle is all that's on my Vanquisher because the chain and ball fell off.
Oh, dude.
You know, I lost my ball. And I've been trying to get one bits ordered, but we haven't been doing a local bits order.
Lost your ball?
Yeah, I lost my ball. So I'm just going to wait until the plastic kit comes out. I'm going to make it a Templar, and I'm going to take the Vanquisher thing. I'm going to use real chain. I'm just going to repair my Vanquisher.
Have I shown you the Mangler conversion Mike did for – or I bought it from him a while back?
Yeah.
The Mangler has free flow, free chain on it, and so the ball has
– yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
It's chipped up the jack already, though, so I have to touch it up.
I'm gonna attach mine to chain, but I'm probably going to glue the ball to the base.
I probably should have done that.
So,
real quick, they have the new jacks, the Signar jacks up. Did you see them yet?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
What is up with that hammer?
The Ironclads?
Yeah.
It's a little goofy, isn't it?
It's like it's compensating a little bit there. Like, they increased the haft below the fist for some reason.
He's choking up to get a bigger swing.
It is a little odd. I didn't care for the Ironclad pose.
Well, see, the hammer is big enough that if he held it at the bottom of the haft, it would actually have reach. So because the model doesn't have reach, he has to choke up.
That sounds dirty.
Well, I wonder if we could convert it so that it looks like he's holding it in both hands. Because it's very poseable.
Now, the Hammersmith is or is not one of the possible.
No, things. That is a Centurion chassis jack.
But I guess it's not the same chassis. I was going to say you could take the Defender hammer and the Ironclad hammer and just give it two hammers and say, I got a Hammersmith.
That'd be pretty cool.
I guess it's not the right chassis, though. I wonder if people would complain.
I don't think it necessarily would be tournament legal. It depends on who's running it.
Yeah, I've seen people who have taken the Mark. I keep calling them Mark II chassis because that's the term that we kind of coined them whenever. They came out, chassis. Yeah. But like the Mark II Protector chassis, I saw people taking those and putting Crusader arms on them or stuff like that to make the Crusader with basically the church steeple hood.
Right.
I
don't think people would be able to tell if you just put the right armaments on there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, it's a jack with two hammers. I wonder what it could be.
Yeah. And I think that most of the time you'd be okay. I always
say it just might not be tournament legal because there's always a chance that somebody's going to be a jerk about things and be like, no, you can't use that.
Well, here's the deal. It's not that it's not tournament legal. It falls to the realm of TO discretion, and TO is usually going to discretion on the side of it's cool. And I just use discretion as
a verb. I know one or two that might not.
You digressor.
I am.
But I definitely dug the Defender pose a lot. I thought that was cool because it had this reaching out with its gun and getting ready to fire.
Well, I'm hoping that they make all these ball and socket joints, so it's a much easier to do that sort of thing.
I think
I'm really hoping
they do that. It looks like a ball and socket joint to me.
Yeah, that was the first thing I looked at was the shoulder where the arm joins the shoulder to see how it was kind of connected.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've all done a list except Yuzi.
I haven't done one.
You haven't done one?
I did one last episode. Well, I don't care.
So right, we're leaving Josh out this week.
That's fine.
But Z. We'd like to hear from you, man. What do you got?
I will carry the Krix torch today. All right. So when I came to Daikon in June this year, I brought a Asphyxius list on Friday for the 750 War Machine Steamroller. And I came second with it. I believe I got best of Krix. Here's the list. It's Iron Lich Asphyxius with the Cankerworm, Death Ripper, Defiler, Night Wretch, and a Reaper as his battle group. The army contains two Scrap Thralls, Tartarus, a Bloat Thrall, Gorman, a Necrotech, a Pistol Wraith, and a Scarlock. And then we have a minimum unit of Bane Thralls, a minimum unit of Vile Thralls, and a Wither Shadow Combine. That was the 750 on the nose. Well, actually, it was 745 like Tim's, but then I just bought another Scrap Thrall.
But you don't have a Necrotech? Oh, you do have a Necrotech in here.
Yeah,
okay.
I do have a Necrotech.
So it's solid.
Second last, third last. There's a lot of solos. It's one of the solos in the list. And this list went pretty well. I only lost in the finals to Joe
Jones?
Thank you. Joe Johnson? Joe Jones? Something like that.
With his Cricator, I'm assuming?
With his Butcher.
Yes, it was with the Butcher. Because we forgot Line of Sight is blocked by models that are still alive.
Yep. That Reaper happens to get in the way.
Good times. Good times. And so we have this list. And it plays pretty straightforward. It's in the 60th army. Tartarus and the Bane Thralls take one flank. The Bile Thralls come in the center behind the Bone Jacks. And the Reaper pretty much hangs out blocking line of sight to Asphyxius. Gorman's there to block line of sight to Asphyxius as well, just to make sure that, you know, there's no craziness going on. the Combine are generally hanging out on a different flank, going after like basically a nice juicy unit they can just plow into and blow up. Or if the opponent actually brought Warjacks, they'd go after the Warjacks to turn them into Stalkers or Helldivers if the need be.
Do you ever use the whole Reaper yanks it in and then the Wither Shuttle Combine finishes it off trick?
No, because my Reaper just generally killed it. Oh. And the Cankerworm would just eat the body then.
That's true.
Because I had so many different, I guess, requirements for my opponent's Warjacks. So many things I could do with them. I could have the Cankerworm eat them. I could have the Combine convert them. I could have the Necrotech turn them into Scrap Thralls. I was pretty much covered on being able to do a lot of different things to my opponent's army. It was a very good, like, screw your army kind of army. And converting over to Mark II, it came to a 48-point list without one Scrap Thrall. Basically, because when you buy the Necrotech, you get a free Scrap Thrall. And so you can't just buy one Scrap Thrall, you have to buy three. The list translates identically to 48 out of 50. And so basically for the last 2 points, I just went ahead and purchased another Necrotech and picked up three more Scrap Thralls. So I had five Scrap Thralls and two Necrotechs instead of the original list. Function-wise, Asphyxius is pretty much a Spellslinger. He still has a Hellfire. Breath of Corruption got better because it's not upkeep anymore. So those Cloud effects stay in play. He lost Iron Blight, which was a good spell, but it was a corner case spell. And, of course, he lost the best spell in the world.
Spectral Leech.
Spectral Leech.
Wait, what are you doing with EF's regular Asphyxius or Epic?
Regular.
Oh, okay, that's what was confusing me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not a big fan of Epic Asphyxius. I know, blasphemy. The Prophet is not happy about that. But, anyways, the list plays the same. The Reaper got better because he can pull large base jacks too.
In Mark II you're talking about.
Yeah, in Mark II. The Bone Jacks, while people complain about them becoming too much more expensive, I mean, my list pretty much translated down the line, so I think the discount from the heavies kind of offsets the slight point bump that the Arc Nodes saw.
I think they hate it because it's harder now to do Arc Node spam, but you can still fit 2-3 in, usually.
Yeah, I mean, three of my Bone Jacks are 50, what, 13 out of 50? That's not even that's about a fourth of my army. I mean, I can deal with that. That's how much I spent generally. I mean,
usually most Kirk's armies in Mark I were like that.
Yeah,
a quarter of their points or whatever were towards.
It's not unusual to sink that many. So.
Yeah,
and now since their weapons are better, I don't think it's a bad buy at all.
I think the Filers are going to see a lot more play now.
Their spray is so good, and the Cankerworm obviously has changed drastically since his first incarnation. I guess would be the right word. He must have had a bad Warjack lunch. But he's still fine. He doesn't hit as hard and as often as he used to, but he's still his imprint got definitely better, I think. Weakness was I don't think I ever spent the focus for weakness when I could just make another attack for his old imprint. So his new imprint where he can just eat the Warjack he just killed and then heal himself, and with Asphyxius move again when he was done with his meal, makes him a lot better in this army, I think.
Would that qualify for fast food?
Yes, that actually qualifies for the drive-thru.
There you go.
That's the new tactic, the drive-thru.
Gotcha.
And the Reaper does DiGiorno.
Oh.
He brings the meal to you. Okay, fine. That was bad. I'm sorry.
It's delivered. Yeah.
No, it's DiGiorno.
Oh, sorry. Now the Bane Thralls and the Bile Thralls are the same exact point cost, which I think is amazing, considering I'm looking at my Mark I list where it was 41 points to 82 points. And now they're both 5 points for the same amount of models in Mark II. I think it really says a lot about how much more expensive the Bile Thralls became.
I hated Bile Thralls. I still do.
Yeah, well, you know. My army pretty much still plays the same. It's the same. I can go spell slinging. I have the Bane Thralls with Tartarus on a flank to wipe that side, no problem. Especially with Tartarus' stat buffs. Oh, God, he is so much better now.
He didn't went up need in that.
Defense and armor.
So. Stupid Tartarus.
Wait, say it again. Who went up in defense and armor?
Tartarus was a 12.
Oh, 16, Tartarus.
He's no, a you're 13, correct. 17.
Now. Yeah, he did go up.
Oh, wow. He's almost like Warcaster like in defense and armor.
And he gained Ghostly.
Burn, which is
baby,
awesome.
Burn. Yeah, so now he's immune to freeze strikes, which is even cooler. And sure, the new death toll requires the 3 inches, but honestly, I always played with Tartarus hanging out with my Banes anyways. Like, I would have, like, a little lane in the middle of the unit for Tartarus to hang out, basically kind of like the parting of the Bane Thrall Red Sea. And so Tartarus would go through, do his thing, curse the target, and the Bane Thralls would wash over him from behind and go kill the thing he cursed, and then rinse and repeat every turn, you know, ad nauseum. The Scrap Thralls are great, especially with me having more. I can run the Scrap Thralls out and use them to kind of, I guess, Lightning Rod my Breath of Corruptions if I want to block line of sight to my army.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they explode, but, you know, whatever. I'm dropping a Breath of Corruption there anyways, and it's blocking line of sight to my army. So I think the army plays identical.
The fact that the Scrap Thralls can run means they're farther upfield than they normally would be, and I think that's a huge bonus to those guys.
I think
guys.
They also be a lightning rod for enemy ranged attacks, potentially, because of that factor. I hated dealing with them in Mark 1 occasionally. So.
Well, wouldn't you rather, I mean, as a Crix player, wouldn't you rather maybe shooting at your Scrap Thralls and your Bile Thralls? Mm-hmm.
Just right, give exactly, you something to deal with.
Which is why they're up in your face, mm-hmm. away from the rest of my army.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to change, like going on to step 3 in this army, if I was to change the list, I would definitely drop Gorman. Not because I don't like him, but I don't need him as much anymore when my clouds stay in play.
Yeah, he's also changed now. His cloud is on him. He can't drop it off him.
Yeah, he's always in himself.
But he's got stealth, so you know it's not too bad. And if it ignores stealth, he's still defense 16.
Right.
In the cloud effect. So he's still pretty hard to hit. And, you know, may as well get rid of my only living model left. this leaves me with 4 points if I take out the extra Necrotech that I purchased, which allows me to pick up a fan favorite of Daragrath for 4 points. And what that does is it gives me another solid flanker to either back the side with Tartarus to make them go faster with his death race. Or just be off on his own and, you know, basically harass people. That's how I used him in Mark 1. I never played the Soul Hunters except at Daikon.
Well, and he's got Battle Mage now, too, doesn't he?
He's a Battle Wizard.
Yes. Battle Wizard, excuse me. So he can definitely charge in and kill some stuff. And
it's a little harder to throw out. Could in Mark 1 since it's not automatic.
Right.
But still, if he's got something he can hit, he'll probably kill it. And then he can Hellfire.
Well, it was never automatic in Mark 1.
Yeah, it was always just he does a spell.
Oh, his spells, you mean.
Right. Yeah, true.
Otherwise, you could kill something with an impact attack and then make a spell and then... Oh, wait, no, he's a light cavalry solo now, so he doesn't have impact attacks, but he still has... He has 2 attacks, with the one with the mount and one with the scythe.
Right.
He can still charge, kill Battle Wizard, kill something else, and then back out.
Correct.
Yep.
Or he could even death ride himself for an extra inch if he needed it.
Yep.
Which actually brings up something I was thinking of. You can actually do things after your charge movement before you attack now.
Yes, this is a change in Mark 2. You can interrupt. You could charge and cast 3 spells and feet before you actually made your attack.
Yep.
But there's some people were talking about some all sorts of tricky stuff now, because you could charge, and then if something triggered free movement, you end your movement with your charge target in range, mm-hmm. and then you could trigger free movement and walk away from them and make your charge attack against someone else. It would just not be boosted.
Epic Kane was a huge example.
Yeah,
Epic Striker's another one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So there's a lot more flexibility with that now. I'm not sure I like it.
Yeah, because we don't know what it's going to give us.
I don't like being able to look away from your charge target, but that, you know, whatever. That's the way the rules work.
They did say that was a deliberate, though. That mm-hmm. was not just some oversight in the rules. They did that on purpose.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think that it's going to change a lot of what we do on the table. We're going to see a lot of different tricks coming out, and I'm kind of excited. The meta has kind of got this giant reset button, and we don't know what all our tricks are right now. So everyone's kind of going to get that turn 2 or turn 3 kill of seeing a new trick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think veteran players are not going to be immune to this either.
Oh, no.
Oh, absolutely not.
The great leveling is happening.
Well, yeah. One thing that actually made me think of that whole charge and then do your ability trick was that you have Tartarus in here, and now he can actually curse things that are farther than his command is
mm-hmm.
before he starts moving, which can help him get that extra +2 on something that's a little bit farther away than it would be in Mark 1.
Exactly, after he charges. He can charge, curse, and then make his attack. Cool. But yeah, my list pretty much... It's still the same annoying list that stayed I hate to use the word again, annoying. I mean, there's almost no escape from Asphyxius' spells, barring, you know, Devout, Choir, things like that. Mm-hmm. And while you're worrying about the spell assassination threat, you have really hard-hitting Bane Thralls, and you have the Bile Thrall coming up the center from behind, you know. There's no point in this army that kind of lets up on the pressure. And that's what I like about this list. That's what I like about Asphyxius. And people laughed at me taking the Reaper in Mark 1, but, you know, he's my favorite Warjack. What can I say?
I that's the same way I like to build my Legion lists. It's everything in this list can mess you up. Which part do you want to get to you?
Exactly.
You got to let something through. You can't stop it all. Now, you got to pick, like, when you face this, you have to realize what you can deal with coming in.
Right.
And kill the other stuff. So, I mean, that's hard because you got to make choices. And a player who's not 100% aware of what both his army and opponent's army can do, this thing is the type of list that can overwhelm them.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened at Daikon, even. What did I play first round? I can't remember who I played first round, but he didn't expect...
the Spanish Inquisition?
Yeah.
Nobody. You
know, I have it open right here. Game one, I played against... Oh, yeah, I played Entropy game one. Huber. Jason Huber. That's Entropy, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And he had Fiona, so that kind of really messed my spell assassination strategy up. Because I couldn't do the auto-miss. But eventually, the Cankerworm showed up after he got corroded by Gorman and finished that story. And Vader was the only... Vader gave me a really hard game with this list because he's played Asphyxius. He's a really good player, so he knew all my tricks, and he shut down my Arknodes pretty quickly.
What was he playing? Was he playing Scorn, or was he playing Crixton?
He was playing Epic Asphyxius.
Ah.
Yeah, I remember watching that game.
He kind of got low-diced on it. He feeded, but I had my Asphyxius hiding behind a wall.
Ah.
And none of his melee attacks hit. Charging the Spectral Legion attacks all missed because of the wall.
That's harsh.
Yeah. Even though he managed to get a parasite off with Asphyxius having cover. And then he ran Tartarus to give him Dark Shroud. I was very upset. This was going to hurt.
Yeah, that would have hurt if he actually hit.
Yeah, I was camping 6 focus and he negated almost all of it with Tartarus and Parasite.
Wow. That's pretty slick.
Yeah, he played well. And of course, then Joe Johnson,
Joe Jones.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Joe Johnson is a guy in our...
John Johnson is another guy. He also... No.
And Jack Johnson, he's a completely different guy.
That's Jack, yeah, Jack Thompson.
I haven't played that guy yet.
Jack Thompson is yet another man, yes.
Yes. Wow.
So anyways, yeah, definitely Asphyxius stayed the same, much to my happiness, and so...
Do you think? Would you say there are a lot of combos built into the list, or this is just a ton of individual threats?
Well, there's definitely some combos. I mean, you have the parasite with the armor-piercing combos,
right? Oh, you can't not build combos into a list. But some lists, you know, are built around stacking specific abilities. Whereas the other hand, other lists are built of more of there's just so much out there that's great on its own. It doesn't matter what dies. You don't have a linchpin.
I think that's more where my list falls. I mean, I'm a big fan, like, of all the models in this army, most of them are in there because I just like them as they are.
Sure.
They just happen to gel very well together.
You have that aesthetic feel for the army. Yeah. I'm going to put this, and this in because they look really cool. Yeah.
I think that there's two ways to build a list. One is you can build a list around like one important thing, and you can get something really cool off, but that important thing dies, you're done.
If that trick's gone, you're screwed.
On the other hand, if you build something that can handle a lot of options, maybe your trick's not as potent, but maybe you can get to the linchpin and defuse your opponent. So it's, you know, there's a lot of point counterpoint in list building and design. And I think this is, I mean, like my list, mine was kind of built around Jacks throwing AoEs and vassals. And if you kill the choir or the vassals, now granted that's harder now because the leader keeps popping back up. But if you kill that kind of stuff, it starts to really neuter my list. Whereas on here, if you kill one or two pieces of Z's list, the rest is still just as deadly as it was before. I mean, you might lose a Dark Shroud to help something else make an attack.
Right.
But pretty much most of his melee stuff already had Darkshot on its own.
Asphyxius is one of those casters, I think, that what little he does specifically for the faction is actually a small part of what he does. Like, a lot of what he does is a debuff, or he might give Scything Touch to something you have, but in general, he's one of those guys that works well with almost anything you can bring.
So you'd say Asphyxius works well with others?
He does, which is odd, because he looks kind of scary.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to mention in Mark II, his feet actually changed. His feet no longer affect... Yeah, you can't kill your own Statixis, for example, in Mark II.
With his feet. Enemy models take the POW 5.
All right.
That's cool. Good.
Honestly, I'm going to miss the days of abusing the heck out of that. Because we're going to see so many more Warjacks on the table now, hopefully, that infantry spam is going to somewhat go away. But that was a big reason for me bringing Bane Thralls and Tartarus, was for the feet turn, I Dark Shroud with these guys, so enemy living models are lower armor, which allows me to kill them just on the feet without even having to make attacks against them.
Mm-hmm. Makes it an effective like POW 7 versus a 5. That's pretty cool.
And if it's parasite at target, it's POW 10 against...
And if you want to really stupid, I mean, you could have Scything Touch on Asphyxius. You could have the target parasited and then Dark Shrouded for Gorman, a net plus 7.
Does Gorman still have Rust?
He does, but it's only minus 2.
Oh, and but that would be fun.
My version of the list.
Yeah. Well, right. But that was just my thought. Lower armor as much as possible.
Minus 2 Rust, and it all stacks, and it's beautiful. Usually I use it for Black Oil and Smoke in that army.
Yeah.
Rust was definitely there for the turn I wanted to make a new Warjack.
All right. Well, I think that about does this. I think that's a fair look. I mean, I wouldn't say that any of our examples were indicative of the factions as a whole, but just a little bit of, you could see, like, you know, Tim's list didn't change a whole lot, whereas, you know, Jason had to kind of redo his. So there is going to be some change in Mark II, but you're going to see a lot of stuff you recognize still. And I think that it won't be hard to adapt to the new system. I mean, I wouldn't say any of us had a hard time coming up with our third step lists here. You know, even if we were doing it like on the fly, like Jason was kind of doing, it's just going to be a little bit new thought process.
Yep. And things are similar enough that you still have that grip on what they do, but still it's a new world. And so in a certain sense. And so I think we're all going to have a lot of fun dealing with this sort of a new meta, new models.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm looking forward to this. This is fun. This is actually my first of my 750 lists that I've actually remade. I don't have many set lists. I like to do a lot of building on the fly, but this was one of them that I had taken before, and it was interesting to see how it changed. And I've already looked at some of the other casters and been thinking about the same way, and it's weird. I want to be breaking out some models that I used to not play a whole lot.
That's a good sign.
I think everybody's going to be doing that.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should be fun.
So Z, thanks for coming on and
my pleasure.
Sharing a conversation with us.
No.
And
as always, thanks for you guys calling me, letting me spot off on your show for a bit.
No problem.
Yeah, no problem. We're glad to have your south of the border perspective.
That's right. So with that. Adios, Z.
Take it easy, bud.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.
Today's broadcast has been brought to you by Polar Pop. Polar Pop stays cold longer. Available exclusively at Circle K.
That's awesome.